Looks like somebody prayed.
It's interesting because that's a thing that we don't like to do. It's a thing that we're so connected to and trying to control and keeping our sin, like you've heard this weekend from our students. And I want to let you know, if you're a parent in the house, you got some great students. You got some good students. Our students always are the first one up to worship. They are the first one up. If there's an altar call to kneel down before the Lord, some of those other groups are like, yeah, I'm too cool for that. Not ours. We sit at the feet of Jesus and we humble ourselves, and every student went up to call after call after call, humbling themselves. I'm not saying your kids are perfect, but I'm saying that God is perfecting them into His image, and there is a hunger in our group and a hunger in our students for the things of God, and that comes, guys, from us. We're the example, and they're going to lead by example this morning. Some of them are getting baptized, gave their life to Christ, and we pray that you would even think about that through this message. If you've never been water baptized, why not today? Philip was reading in the book of Acts and he comes to know the Lord and he hears the word of God and he gives his life to Jesus, and the Bible says he stopped, got out of his chariot, and he got into the river and said, why not today be the day of baptism? You'll go home with wet clothes, but you'll go home declaring, I have surrendered my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have a Bible this morning, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, we have one behind you. I love this whole weekend. He said, put up your Bibles, the word of God. Somebody say word. So in that, yeah, I can't say like he was. He was a big dude, a big manly man. And so I'll just be like, word, you know. But get out the word of God. I love that. He said, don't get out your phones, get out the paperback version. That way you're not tempted to scroll while you're trying to surrender. You know, you might need to surrender that this morning, your media and your Facebook and your Twitter and whatever it is that you do. I'm speaking to myself. Matthew chapter 16, the definition of surrender. Our world will tell us all kinds of things. Here's some quotes I'll just have up on the screen. Want to be happier? Start living for yourself. This is not Jesus. This is the world. This is the kingdom of this world. You've heard that? Don't worry about other people. Clearly, the reason why you're upset is because you're worried about them. If you want to be happier, live for yourself. There's another quote, live a life you are proud of. Live for yourself. Notice a theme? The theme is living for yourself. Another quote, this is an unknown quote. I thought this was interesting. Be who you are and say what you feel. Because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter, they don't mind. So do what you want to do, say what you want to want. And if you have been around in the world in any kind of line or fast food place, this is the motto of the world. I'm going to do me. I'm going to live for me. I'm going to care about myself. And I don't really care if I offend you on media. I don't care if I offend you in person. Now we've just moved that into person. And the Lord says that is the opposite of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is about surrender. It's about giving up ourselves. The actual definition of surrender, before we get into the text this morning, surrender is a complete and full yielding of oneself and your desires to God's authority and plan, rather than a passive act of giving up, but a courageous act of trust and obedience. We just sing that song, I trust in God, my Savior. We want to trust in ourselves. God says, no, surrender. You want to do you? You want to live life for yourself? The Lord says, no, surrender, surrender. And this is not a one time and you're done, hallelujah, you're going to heaven. This is a daily act of surrendering my life to Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be looking this morning at verse 24. So you're looking for that little 24 in your scriptures. Matthew is writing predominantly to Jewish people who are waiting for a Messiah to come that will rescue them from the Roman influences of the world. And yet Matthew says that's not the kingdom. In fact, over and over again, you hear Matthew writing down the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He's worried about bringing this kingdom, but it's not the kingdom of where we are in control. It's in the kingdom where Jesus is in control. In verse 24, Jesus says this. he told his disciples. You see that right there. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, somebody say me. That's not me, that's Jesus. So somebody say Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. I'm trying to keep my students awake that I've been, had about 3 or 4 hours of sleep for the whole weekend. It says, if anyone would come after Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Somebody say cross. And follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's upside down thinking. It's a different way, this kingdom living. Keep on reading. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? So what will it matter if you get the position or you become famous? What will it matter if you get all of the awards that you have been longing for? What will it matter if you have all of the money that you thought you need and some, if you lose your whole soul because of it? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Notice this is the words of Jesus. In verse 27, it says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's pray this morning, and then we'll just dive right into it. Lord, we thank you that you preach a different kingdom, an upside down kingdom. We've heard of serving, God, last week. We have heard, Lord, of loving our enemies. God, that's different. God, this morning we hear this word called surrender, which is denying ourselves and picking up a cross and following you. And God, that's the option that you give us. Not just a prayer underneath our breath, not just an accessory that we've heard or an add-on or an addition. God, you are to be the anchor that we hold our entire life on. This morning, convict us, Holy Spirit. This morning, Holy Spirit, would you teach us? And Lord, we pray this morning for salvation. And Lord, we pray, God, that those that will stand up and say, I'm choosing a life of daily surrender. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. This morning, we want to go back to that verse. So if you're taking notes, I'm sorry about the notes not being in the bulletin. My fault. It looks at verse 24. It says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny. Somebody say deny. So the idea is not that we lose our identity when we follow Christ. Who you are is still who you are. If you still like some things, like I like basketball. I've been watching March Madness. Anybody watch? Probably not. On my three of us. Okay, four. Thank you. I saw it. And so I'm secretly looking at the LSU girls win last night. The LSU team won. And so I love basketball. God is not asking me to quit loving basketball. It doesn't really conflict with who he is. And so he is asking, however, not that we change who we are, because he created you. He made you. He formed you in his image. Rather, he is saying that those things need to be surrendered to Christ. So my basketball watching needs to be surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if it comes in the way of his lordship, I need to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus. This is a daily way of living. Now, we have deny yourself. Somebody say deny myself. So I'm denying not the intricate persons of who I am and the things, but I am denying those patterns in my life that are not up to what Christ has for me, are sin patterns, are things that the Lord has said, these things need to be out of your life. The life of surrender is a life of denying yourself. And then look at the next word. If you have it, I like to put a big cross right there. It says, and take up his cross. Now, you've heard it this week, and I found it so interesting that the students heard this. A cross is not an accessory. We wear it as an accessory. Most of us probably have earrings, or I guess ladies do, and men, you have chains that have a cross. Maybe you have a cross at your house. Lord bless this home. That's not bad. But the cross was not an accessory. It was not an add-on to our lives. Oh, let me do this, and when everything is really bad, let me call on Jesus. No, that's not an add-on of our life. It's not an addition. The cross is the anchor. And when we think about the cross, a lot of us in the room think, well, I'll probably have a cross on my tombstone. If you have, you know, most people, when we go into those places, cemeteries, we see crosses. Why? Because we're Christians, right? Everybody in America. That was not what a cross meant when Matthew was writing this letter. A cross was a form of death. Somebody say death. So when some people will, you'll hear this, well, let me just pick up my cross. And it might be like, my kids are acting bad today. Let me pick up my cross. That's not a cross. Your kids are acting bad because they're bad. I'm just saying mine. And that's not a cross. Sometimes you go and you have a cross and you say, well, I just got to pick up the cross and I got to suffer through this. And I'm not saying suffering is bad, but that was not the symbol that Jesus was referring to in this particular verse. Here's what Jesus says, and this is what the Jewish people knew, that a cross was death. Somebody say death. It was disgrace. It was ridicule, like being made fun of. It was rejection from the popular people. It was a symbol that when Jesus picks up his cross, that he said, I am going to not only deny myself, I'm going to die to myself. That's hard. But Jesus, again, in all of this upside down living kingdom, he's the ultimate example. So Jesus doesn't just say something, he does it, right? So Jesus literally and physically pick up a cross and he carries it up a hill, and then he's so beaten that he can't even do that. And he puts himself on a cross that is death. It's humiliation. It's disgrace. We learned this weekend that he was looked worse than a human and he was made fun of and spat on. That was the cross that Jesus had to bear. That was a death that he had to die physically. Now, we all know we're going to die physically unless the Lord comes back, and then we're rising up, and that would be awesome, and hallelujah. We're going straight to heaven, at least I am. And so, yeah, I mean, that's included in the kingdom of God. But if not, we do die a physical death, but also Jesus is saying not to die a physical death every day, but to die a death to yourself. Oh, that's a struggle. That's because I like doing me. I like having my way. I like doing the things. And sometimes it's not even sin, y'all. Sometimes it's just I like to put myself first and everybody else last. I don't know if that's you in the room. You look holy. But I struggle with this idea of, God, I have to die to myself? Really? Like, I've done this, and it's not just a one-time thing. This is every single day that we are surrendering our lives, that we are picking up our cross, that we are dying to ourselves, and we're looking at this and saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do it again today. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do it again on Monday. God, I'm going to pick up my cross on Tuesday. God, I'm going to die to myself on Wednesday. Thursday night comes and somebody comes at you in a wrong way and you want to go off on them. I know you probably don't do this, but you want to say something because you're really good at saying things that are mean and evil, and you pick up your cross and you die to yourself and you say, no, not today, Satan. I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm not allowing that struggle to come back in my life, because I'm a person that is denying myself, that I am picking up my cross, and I'm dying to what? Well, here's some things you can die to. Your sin. You heard it. The student said it. You let that sin fester like you let something in your teeth fester. You got a problem. You ever had a root canal? I didn't. But I heard it hurts. And you could have fixed it before the problem got that bad. Sin will cause you to go further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will distract you from the kingdom purposes that God has for you. How do I know? Because I've been there. And I've allowed the enemy to lie. Well, that doesn't matter so much to God. Yes, it does. Get rid of the sin. But I can't. Ask the Holy Spirit. Do this every single day. Die to yourself. Deny yourself. When that sin comes back, say, no, today I'm choosing to pick up my cross. When that addiction rears its ugly head and you're tempted to pick up a drink, you're tempted to go back to the vape, you're tempted to do the substance that you used to do, because you know the enemy knows our targets, right? right? You know he knows your proclivities. You know what a proclivity is? The thing that you always do. And you always go back to it when things get rough. God, the enemy knows. So that's why we have to die to it. And some of us, we got to die every hour. You know, I'm trying to eat healthy. This is a silly example. And every hour I pass by that snack shop on that side of the room, and we get so many amazing donations. Like, since when do we get all the things I love? Like New York peppermint patties, you know, I love them. They're frozen in the refrigerator right there. And I'm denying myself. It's silly, right? But if I got to do it every hour, I'm not that good. And then I can't wait till I get out of here, because I'm like, well, at least nothing's at my house. I got fruits and vegetables. But here, y'all, is a junkyard. It's a junkyard of terrible things. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow Jesus. I'm dying to my sin, and I'm dying to my flesh. I think sin, the big things, right? But I think sometimes our flesh is those small things that we allow. I'm going to spend a little bit more time than I need to on media. I'm going to not be so invested into my family or my husband like I need to be. That's my flesh. Not necessarily sins, probably not going to kill me today or tomorrow, but it's those things that the Lord is saying, even that, Tara, those little tiny things, probably you wouldn't even notice in my life, but I know. And the Holy Spirit will convict us, and he say, I need you to surrender even that. I need you to let go of even that. Why? Because he wants to be close. He wants us to be his. He doesn't want us to stay away from him. He is longing us to get back in the garden. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve out of the garden. So what does Jesus do? He says, I'm going to die on a cross for your sin so that I could be close, not just to the pastor or the preacher or the leader. I want to be close to you. And because of that, you've got to die to yourself, because we're a little funky. We've got some issues going on in our life. So we die to sin. Somebody say sin. And then we die to our flesh. Somebody say, my flesh. And so in order for us to live in this upside down kingdom, we have to die to the things that are taking us away from him. Look at the rest of it. Jesus says, forever wants to save their life will lose it. Let me read that again. Forever wants to save his life will lose it. So you're so busy trying to save it, trying to be popular, trying to do this, trying to do that. But the Lord says, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. There is life in Christ. I was talking to some students last night, and I was explaining to them the gospel. I was explaining to them the good news. They were new, and I said, let me explain to you what Jesus does. He gives us life. I was empty in ninth grade. I was a good kid. My parents were here this morning. I made good grades, but I didn't know Jesus. So therefore, God says, Tara, if you lose your life, you'll find it in me. That's a surrender. That's a salvation surrender. Some of you need to do that this morning. You need to say, okay, Lord, I have been struggling with just surrendering into salvation. That's where you confess your sins and you believe in your heart. And you say, okay, Lord, you're mine. You don't even have to. I told our students this week, and I was talking to the girls. I said, you don't even have to know the outcome. You don't even, when I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't have every answer. I had not read through the Bible probably ever. I think I looked at pictures in my Bible. I had a good picture Bible. And so I would look at my picture Bible and say, yeah, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't read the word till like 4 or 5 years later. I was young. I had other things to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm a kid. Let's do this. And so it was a process. When I got baptized, I wasn't like a preacher. I was just a kid that knew I had given my life to Jesus. And I knew that there was a symbol that inside of baptism, I was dying to my old self and I was coming up anew. And I remember, and I was like sort of embarrassed. I was like, because I was supposed to have been saved, but I wasn't saved. So when I got saved in ninth grade, about a year later, I said, you know what? There was a baptism. I forget, it was somebody's pool somewhere. And I said, Mom, I need to get baptized. Because I knew that there was a death to Tara and a resurrection in Christ. And I needed to show the world that. And so there was a process. And all we are doing is saying, okay, Lord, I am giving you my life. I'm surrendering my life. I am denying myself. I'm dying to sin. I'm dying to my flesh. And then here's what the Lord says. You'll get new life. It's better on this side. It is better on this side. It's filling. I'm not saying it's perfect. I would never tell you that. You might get saved and it might get worse. Your family might disown you. Your people might deny you. You might have to give up some things, but it might get harder. There might be some trauma or some tragedy that comes in your life, but I know that my King walks with me in every step and every process of my life, and this upside down kingdom of living a life of surrender is worth it. Jesus, over and over and over again, asks us to surrender our lives, to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves. And today the question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Jesus doesn't force us. He asks us. He never forced his disciples. He went up to Matthew, a tax collector, and said, quit collecting taxes, follow me. He went up to fishermen, quit taking the fish, quit doing the nets, follow me. They probably went fishing again. They didn't give up their identity. They just found their real identity in Christ. So those, remember that? The rich young ruler comes up and he says, what must I do to have the kingdom? He says, sell everything. Why? Because he was rich and he was young and he had to give that up. He could have probably still lived that. God's not asking you to like give up all your money and all the things. No, he's just saying, give up your identity and find that real identity I have for you in Jesus. So are you willing this morning to lose perhaps your closest friends? I'm talking to young people. I had to give up my friends. They weren't following Jesus. You can't be the closest friends. If you're in a relationship this morning and you're not married, and that relationship is one-sided, you love Jesus and the other person doesn't, are you willing to give that up for the kingdom? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means you're alienated from your family? That's hard. But Jesus talks about it. Because your family's not serving Jesus. I'm not saying like be mean and ugly. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there will be a difference between you and your family. Are you willing to follow Jesus if you lose your reputation and now you're the kid that loves Jesus? You're the person that walks through the school and you're like the Jesus freak, right? Like the all the kids know you or all the people at your workplace. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job or your status or your position? Or if it means losing your life? Yes, this week we're reading with our kids. We're reading through the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 12 is the story of Peter. He's in jail. It's an amazing story. Peter's in jail, and the believers are praying for him, and they're talking about praying, Lord, get him out of the jail. And all of a sudden, the Lord sends angels down, because that's what God did in the book of Acts chapter 12. There's angels that come down, rescue people. They rescue Peter. And he shows up at the house of the believers that they were praying for. The servant girl, Rhoda, answers the door, and she says, guys, it's Peter. And so here's Peter. And they're like, no, it's not. And they're like, yeah, look, Peter, he got out of jail. I don't know how she talks. I just think that's probably how she talked. And so she's sitting there and like, here, it's a rescue story of like, wow, like Peter surrendered his life and he was in jail, but God rescued him out. Whoop, whoop, God's good. And in Acts chapter 12 in verse 2, we're reading. We're reading the Peter story, and God's good, and he rescued you out of jail. Guys, isn't that good? Can I read to you in verse 2? It says this, and Herod, that was the crazy king at the time, killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And then he went right into the Peter story. One sentence. And so the whole time my family were reading this story, and we're excited about Peter, and God rescued him out of jail, and I can't quit thinking about that one sentence. So at the end of our family time, we say, okay, what did God speak to you in the Word of God? So we're talking. I don't know what they said, but I know what I said. Verse 2, and Herod killed James, the brother of John. You know who James is? An apostle, a disciple, one of the 12. He was the brother of John, and he gets one sentence in the Bible. He was the first martyr for Jesus. Scholars say that James, the son of John, the brother of John, that this guy was going to get beheaded. So when they brought him before the people, and you see this little sentence, and all you see is a sentence about his life, because sometimes even unto death we have to serve Christ. Like, there are people in Syria right now, Christians in Syria, and they are killing them and beheading them. Do you know that? That you have brothers and sisters on the other side of the world that are losing their life for Jesus. Like, I'm not talking about they get made fun of at school. Oh my goodness, they don't like my shoes, or they don't like my Jesus cross. No, these brothers and sisters are dying. Like, they are killing them, they are beheading them. And so they say that when this guy, Herod, killed James, the brother of John, when James went to be beheaded, he was so full of the Holy Spirit, he said, I don't care. Let him put a sword into me. In fact, scholars say that one of the guards that was carrying him to get his head chopped off accepted Jesus, the Christ, as their Savior right there. He gets full of the Holy Spirit, and he says, kill me too. And James dies, and the guard dies, because he had chosen this way. Lord, I am daily going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus. And for him, it meant a physical death. A lot of us in America are privileged, because that doesn't mean that for us. I'm not saying that one day it won't. I'm saying in this moment. But here's the question this morning. Are you willing to take up your cross? Are you willing to surrender? If faced with the choice this morning, Jesus or the comforts of this life, which will you choose? What will you choose? In the early 1900s, I love old stories. You know this about me. I just love old stories. There was a man. His name was Judson Van Deventer. He sounds like an old person, you know, in the early 1900s, and he was struggling. He was a famous artist, getting very famous in America. And he was starting to have like a reputation, and he knew that he was called to Jesus. And he said, I was called to Jesus, but I really like art, and God loves art. And like, it's fine if you're an art teacher, like, do it for the glory of God, right? But he knew that he had a calling of surrender on his life, and he kept on wrestling with it. For 5 years, this man kept on wrestling with this idea that I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to kill my flesh. I'm going to kill my sin, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And eventually, after 5 years of the struggle, this man said, Lord, I am giving you my life. And he became a minister. He started preaching. He did revivals and things like that, but he was also a poet. And so he began to write a hymn. You might have heard of this hymn. It's called I Surrender All. He says this, he says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. And then he writes this chorus. He says, I surrender. Maybe we know it all. And then he says, I surrender all. You know, in that hymn, he writes of surrender. He writes the word surrender over and over and over again. In those stanzas, there's like five different parts of that song. He says this, he says, God, I would surrender 30 times. He writes the word all in that song 43 times. Why? Because I got to remind myself daily. So that man, he writes this song, and there's this billionaire, like, he's a millionaire, actually. He's about a 17-year-old young man, and he's at a preaching event, and he hears the song after a measure. Now, can you imagine being a millionaire in the early 1900s? His family had a silver mine, and so they were kept on, like, doing all this silver and all these things, and he was rich. For his senior year in high school, his parents gave him a trip to see the world. He traveled the world in his senior year. Seniors, talk to your parents. And so he does, my senior, don't talk to me. And so he owns a silver mine, and he gives his life to the Lord. He's in Europe, and he goes to a service. And guys, at the end of the service, at 17 years old, he hears this song that this man had written, I surrender all, I surrender all. So he gets up and he says, that's what I'm going to do at 17 years old. So he goes to Harvard, like most of us, and joke. And so, unless you've been to Harvard, hallelujah. And so he goes to Harvard and he gives us, and he starts Christian clubs, and God calls him to like go and preach to the Muslims in China, except he doesn't know the language. So on his way to China, he ends up in the place of Cairo, Egypt. And he has meningitis. You remember meningitis? My sister had it. The young people, you don't know what that is, I don't think. We don't have any more. He had meningitis, and in 3 weeks, at 25 years old, he dies. A millionaire, who would now be a billionaire in today's times, gave up his life to go and tell people in China about Jesus, and he never even gets there, and yet he surrendered all. Another young man, you might know this man, in a service at his college campus by the name of Billy Graham. And he hears this song, I surrender all, got all to Jesus, I'm dying to my flesh. And he gets up and he says, Lord, I'm going to use that song. And he began preaching at revivals all across America and then all across the world, hundreds of thousands of people. And at the end of every message, what song does Billy Graham use? I surrender all. And I was thinking, those are two great stories, but I want to be a little bit more personal this morning. So I'm going to call Fran to the stage. This morning, there's a surrender that we do. Billy Graham is like big, and a millionaire is like rich. We're probably not big or rich, you know what I'm saying? But I know Fran's story, and I wanted to use him as an example this morning of surrender, because I've been to his country and worked with his ministry. When Fran was a young man, and I'm gonna give you this rope, and I'm gonna have you stand right there, Shona. Okay, so you're gonna stand right there. Adelaide, can I get you on stage? I didn't tell her, so I'm sorry. Sort of sorry. There's a team of people that went from what was called King's Castles, like a ministry team, and they went to Franz School. And I'll try to tell the story as best as I remember it. And they went and told him about Jesus. And it was a high school. They would let these teams go in. Like, it was crazy. It's fun. It's fun, right? Like, they're just like, yeah, y'all can take over the school. So these groups would do dramas and dances. And at the end of the drama and the dance, they have an altar call time. And they say, okay, like, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And Fran was the only person in the entire high school to stand up and surrender his life to Jesus. Now, this is so cool to me. Not only did he surrender his life to Jesus and say yes to the Lord, he literally, young people, you can't do this, because he was in Nicaragua. He walked out of his high school and followed the people that were following Jesus, and he joined King Castle Ministry. Crazy, right? Like, just said, okay, I'm surrendering all. Like, I'm walking out of high school, I'm giving my life to the Jesus, spent time in the ministry, and like just loving the Lord, sharing others. I want to talk to the adults just for a minute. You can surrender into salvation, and you can also surrender daily. You've got to do both, right? But adults in the room, I want to let you know that there are some young people that are coming behind us, and your surrender matters. God, we have to step it up. We have to step it up. Sometimes I don't even surrender all the time for myself. Being honest, I'm surrendering for all the people that are looking behind me. Paul says it like this, follow me as I follow Christ. So parents of these students, you're surrendered. They are watching you. They're watching me, yes, but you're in their day, you're in their life every single day. Sure, they might like Pastor Lynn and Miss Savannah. They're doing a great job, but the ultimate example that they have is you. They're looking at your surrender. So you can't be one way at church this morning and then go back and be a different way tomorrow morning. You've got to stop. You've got to say, okay, Lord, I am willing to surrender in such a way that if it's on them. My kids know I surrendered. So they choose, but they are looking at us. And so they're looking at Fran. And who would have known all the lives that Billy Graham would have affected? And so Fran gets married, and we're going to just wrap around this story. And, you know, eventually he meets Shauna, she gives her life to Jesus. Can you just hold this real quickly? He has kids, the other one's in kids' church. Now, this is a surrender line. Because when you make the first decision of surrender, you don't see the end. And this line ain't finished. I'm just saying, Fran, this line's not finished for you guys. But what you don't see when you say yes to Jesus is all those coming behind you. When you pick up your cross, when you deny yourself, and you get rid of sin, and you get rid of all the things that you deal with, when you break generational curses, I am standing here because my family, my mom and dad, y'all, my family is rough. Like my family in Ohio, oh goodness, Lord. They're the town drunks. I told the students, they are. You wouldn't know that. But like my parents made a decision to surrender to Jesus, and then they started surrendering addictions to Jesus. And my parents started, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we're perfect, but what I'm saying is that surrender began to affect people that are coming behind them. So that the surrender that Adelie has and she has had, then all those people that are coming behind her that have been affected by Adelie, and I know a lot of you young people in this room, she's one of our leaders in our youth group, and so she has surrendered in such a way that you guys are her representation. This morning, step it up, adults. Start saying, okay, I'm showing up. I'm going to be consistent. We never miss church. We on vacation, we're in church. I tell you that all the time. It was not a lie. I'm not saying I had perfect parents, but I had a people that were always in the house of the Lord, and we grew line upon line and step upon step. And the things that we see now were the fruit of what my mom and my dad prayed 20 years ago, because we were crazy. I was not the best of students, my sister worse. And she kept on. Her surrender mattered, your surrender matters, Fran's surrenders matters. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes this morning? There are two surrenders, felt like the Lord would say. We're going to sing that song as people get baptized. If you're one of those students, if you're somebody in the room, you say, I'm ready. We have extra towels. You say, I want to surrender. If you want to be like Philip and he's reading the word of God, and they come to him and they say, yeah. And he just hears the word of the Lord and he surrenders. But this morning, if you've never been saved, that's the first surrender. Because that's whenever you confess and you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and the Lord does an internal work in you and he saves you and he just stamps you and you're his kid. That's for you this morning. If that's you, would every head bowed, every eyes closed, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me? Anybody in the room? If that's you with your hand raised, would you pray with me and say, dear Lord, today I surrender. I give my life to you. I confess my sins. And today I believe in my heart that you are my King and you are my Lord. Jesus, today I give you my life and I choose to pick up my cross and follow you. I want to be your disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. The Bible says this morning, with every head bowed and eyes still closed, if you did that, the angels in heaven rejoice. It's like when Fran gave his surrender, the angels in heaven rejoice. It's the same thing. Go and walk in that surrender. Continue. Be faithful. The Bible says you are a new person. You're a new creation. God is not wanting a better you. He's wanting a new you. And this morning, if you gave your life to Jesus in salvation, that's a surrender and saying, okay, Lord, I am a new person. But for others in the room, I just felt like the Lord would say this. You need a daily surrender. Quit playing games. Quit picking up a cross one day and then putting it down on the next day. No, It's not an accessory. It's not an add-on. It is the anchor of our lives. It's when you go to work. It's in the movies that you watch. It's in that addiction. Give that over to Christ. Start having someone hold you accountable and say, okay, Lord, this is yours. I remember being addicted. I had a terrible mouth in high school. And I got so serious about it. Someone came up to me and said, I thought you were a Christian, but they can't tell because of the way that I speak. And the Lord said, no. And I started getting rid of that. I started letting people know, I owe you money. Like, if you hear me say something that doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, and eventually that got out of my life. Y'all, it's serious. Surrender. So if that's you this morning and you have something you need to surrender, can you just pray? We're going to pray out loud together. Maybe lift your hands. Lord, with our hands lifted, even as Landon said this morning, God, we surrender that thing. You've already talked to us, Holy Spirit. You're good to us. God, we know that sin will keep us and take us further than we want to go, Lord. And this morning, we confess that sin. And God, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, this morning, God, we lay that humbly at your feet. Lord Jesus, we ask, give us a desire to pick up our cross. God, give us a desire to deny ourselves and follow you, not just today, but God, until we take our last breath. I mean, that's how serious we need to be about it, God. So help us to surrender to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. What we're going to do is, I think if the team is going to come up, we're going to sing I Surrender All, but we're going to have baptisms. And so thank you guys. Thank you guys. Just keep on holding. I'm joking. What a privilege it is to baptize people who have surrendered their life to Christ. And so this is a part of service. We ask, they're just a couple of minutes with us. We're going to pray over them. And if you feel called to just say, okay, Lord, I want to be baptized as well, just step out and say, that's me. I'm going to surrender even unto baptism. So with that being said, we're our students that are getting baptized. If you will come up and I think they're still in shoes. Probably take your shoes off. Are you going in? Y'all going in? Yeah, they're going in. Okay, they're going in blue jeans and everything else. So I'll get this to you. Okay. He's not going to be on the mic in the water because, you know,